before a single human city rose, before any empire drew its borders, a text was already asking the hardest question. What does it mean to be human in a world that was made good? Genesis 1 through 11, what scholars call the primeval history, is not a warm-up act. It is a complete theological argument. It establishes the architecture of everything that follows in the biblical story. And Bill, the way it does that is far more sophisticated than most readers expect. Think of Genesis 1 as a liturgical poem, not a science report. The structure is the message. God speaks, and things exist. Light, sky, land, sea, creatures, humanity. Each day follows a tight formula. Divine command, fulfillment, evaluation, and the refrain, "It was good." That rhythm is deliberate. It creates a sense of ordered ceremony, almost like a weekly temple reading. Now, here is what makes this remarkable compared to other ancient Near Eastern creation stories. In those traditions, creation is typically the byproduct of divine conflict, gods fighting, chaos defeated, the world built from a slain body. Genesis offers something different. Order comes not from violence, but from speech. God does not battle chaos. God simply speaks, and chaos recedes. That is a radical theological claim. Humanity, created in the image of God and as male and female, inherits a world defined by intention, not accident. Genesis 2 then zooms in. The camera pulls from the cosmic to the intimate. A garden, two trees, a man, a woman, a serpent. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil is not just a plot device. It is a threshold. When the serpent persuades the woman to eat, and she does, and the man follows, something irreversible happens. For example, consider what the text actually says changes. They know they are naked. That is not trivial. It marks the moment human beings become self-aware moral agents. The key idea here is that the Eden story is less about a single act of disobedience and more about the emergence of moral consciousness. The capacity to evaluate, to choose, and to bear the weight of those choices. Expulsion from Eden follows. Access to the Tree of Life is lost. But the humans are not destroyed. They are sent into a world where they must now live with the consequences of knowing. Genesis 4 escalates this immediately. Cain kills Abel. Violence enters the human story. And yet, that same chapter associates early humanity with animal herding, music, and metalworking. Culture and violence arrive together. That tension is not accidental. The flood narrative in Genesis 6 through 9 mirrors the creation account structurally. Scholars have identified a deliberate literary parallel. Creation and the flood are the two longest central units in the primeval history, and they correspond to each other. Creation brings order from water. The flood returns the world to water before order is restored again. Noah is introduced as righteous, receives divine instructions, builds an ark, and survives with his family and representatives of the animals. After the waters recede, God establishes a covenant with Noah, the first formal covenant in Genesis, and places a rainbow as its sign. Remember that word, covenant. It will become the engine of everything from Genesis 12 onward. The genealogies in chapters 5 and 10, often skipped by readers, are doing essential structural work. They connect cosmic events to specific human lineages, bridging time and geography, so the story can move from the universal to the particular. The primeval history closes with Babel, one language, one people, one ambition, build a city and a tower in the land of Shinar, make a name, avoid being scattered. The project is abandoned, the people are dispersed, languages multiply. Bill, that ending is not a punishment story in any simple sense. It is an origin story for human diversity itself. The takeaway from these 11 chapters is this. Genesis 1 through 11 builds a theological framework of order, human agency, and fragmentation. Creation is good. Humans are capable. And yet, at every stage, Eden, Cain, the flood, Babel, human ambition strains against divine intent, and the world splinters further. That tension is not resolved here. it is handed forward directly into the story of one man named Abraham, where the next arc begins.